Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. David trained his heart like a great general trains a soldier. That's from our free book, Biblical Manhood, written by Mr. Joel Hilliker, page 35. You can receive a free copy of Biblical Manhood at thetrumpet.com. But why would King David have to train his heart so diligently, so relentlessly, so violently? Why would he have to train his heart like a great general trains a soldier? Well, all of us desperately need this kind of heart training. Notice Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is basically a term in the Bible that's talking about the seat of our emotions, our desires. It's basically a term for the emotional side of our human mind. And our heart, which determines what we want, what we hope for, is desperately wicked. And the devil is always trying to stir up wrong emotions and moods and attitudes in us. Our heart is intimately connected with the devil by default. Notice here in Biblical Manhood, Mr. Hilliker continues, what is the state of your heart? Where is it divided? Where are there shadows? What are your areas of weakness? Now, even though every one of us has a deceitful, desperately wicked heart, even still, every one of us is different. Every one of us has a deceitful, desperately wicked heart in different ways. We must examine ourselves to expose the division and the shadows and the weakness of our own individual heart. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, or your spirit, your human spirit, and with all your mind, which is your human spirit combined with the human brain. So in every way, with our spirit components, the Holy Spirit as well, with our emotions, with our logic and our thinking capacity, we must love God fully. God says we must have an undivided heart, a heart that fully belongs to Him. No division, no shadows, no weakness. Biblical Manhood says we should strive for a heart uncluttered with the things of the world, uncomplicated by the lusts of the flesh. We all know how it is in this society, where we are bombarded by time wasters and distractions all the time. Anything that God produces, there are a million counterfeits out there in the world. Yes, there is God's church and the message going out from God's work. And yet there's all kinds of alternative messages we could tune into instead to get a different view on the news or on prophecy or politics. Or we could just go into the shallows and turn ourselves over to sports and entertainment. There are so many other messages, so many other things that could take up all of our time. God says to put first His kingdom and His righteousness. And yet there are literally millions of other things that we could put ahead of God. So many other options. Money, a relationship, even our family, our job, our reputation, leisure. Any number of things could come before God. Yet God wants our whole heart. He wants every last bit of our passion, our desire, directed with force straight at Him. King David mastered his heart. He turned his heart over to God. And God called David a friend. God called David a man after God's own heart in Acts 17, verse 22. How can we follow that sterling example of King David with a heart totally belonging to God? Well, it requires a lot of discipline. A lot of vigorous training. Remember, David trained his heart like a great general trains a soldier. The 1941 U.S. Army Field Manual says that discipline is the most important thing. What can a soldier accomplish if he has no discipline? If he can't command his own personal schedule? Going to bed on time, waking up on time, meticulously organizing his possessions and his time, prioritizing his life to be the most effective soldier possible, making certain sacrifices of things that would really reduce his effectiveness as a soldier. God says we are all soldiers spiritually. If we are true Christians, if we want to be true Christians, that's a life of spiritual warfare. And for us, discipline is also the most important thing. We need discipline to be successful in spiritual war. We need a heart that is trained like a great general training a soldier. But that is extremely difficult to do. It is extremely difficult to direct our passions, our energies, our resources fully to God, giving our heart to God in every way, in every area of life. Really, we need God's help with that. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." King David asked God to purify his heart, to get rid of the division and the shadows and the weakness. Without God's help, we are completely helpless in having a pure heart toward God. But God can provide the discipline and the guidance, the power that we need to have a singular, focused heart, a heart that belongs to Him. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry wrote in his free booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, which you can request for free at thetrumpet.com. On page 78, Mr. Flurry writes, we are involved in a terrible spiritual war. We must fight against our own carnal nature and against evil influences of this world. We are even locked in direct combat with Satan himself. That is why we are instructed to put on the whole armor of God and to war a good warfare. Ephesians 6, verse 11, and 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. How successful are you at fighting this spiritual war? Again, that's from How to Be an Overcomer. Truly a life-changing booklet. You can read it online at thetrumpet.com. But even better, you can request your own free physical copy at that website, thetrumpet.com. Highly recommended. In the latest issue of our free Christian living magazine, Royal Vision, the July-August edition, Mr. Joel Hilliker wrote an article titled, Don't Go to Battle Without Your Armor. Mr. Hilliker writes, when you walk out the door each morning, are you equipped? Only a soldier who cheaply values his own life or cares little about his cause would leave himself vulnerable. Physically, we can easily understand that we have to do a few basic things at our home in the morning before we leave the house. We should probably practice good hygiene, bathing, and brushing our teeth. We should probably put on appropriate clothes for whatever activities we have going on that day. We should probably bring our bag of supplies or materials that we might need at work or school. We can't just leave the house completely unprepared physically. But the same is also true spiritually. Remember, we're in a spiritual war. A soldier in battle, down in the trenches, would not stick his head up above the trench or decide to start strolling across the battlefield without any armor on. He wouldn't act like it's a peaceful walk through a quality neighborhood. No, he'd have to be equipped. It's a matter of life or death for a soldier on the battlefield to make sure he is equipped, to make sure he is prepared and trained to fight, and that he has the weapons and the armor he needs. The same is true of us spiritually. We have certain spiritual weapons in our arsenal. And before we face the challenges and tests of a given day, we have to train with those weapons. We have to equip ourselves with spiritual armor. As Mr. Hilliker writes in this article, Don't Go to Battle Without Your Armor, we deal in matters of eternal life and death. That's how important this spiritual war is. We can't take that casually. We can't decide to skip out on prayer and Bible study from time to time. Satan, our adversary, is waiting for us to make that mistake. And he will capitalize every time. He will make every part of our life turn upside down the moment we decide not to be armed and ready to fight spiritually. Ephesians 6 describes all the different parts of our armor. Notice here Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the first aspect of our spiritual armor is a belt of truth. Mr. Hilliker writes about this. To be protected, we must gird ourselves with truth. We need God's truth, the Bible, the doctrines and teachings of God. We need to lead lives of truth and sincerity. Shun false doctrines and wrong teachings. Don't shade the truth, tell half the truth, compromise with the truth, or hide the truth. Avoid exaggerating to exalt yourself, or making promises you don't intend to keep, or lying to cover up something you shouldn't have done. Have no shadows and secrets in your life, being dishonest with yourself or with the ministry. Compromising in these areas is neglecting this crucial part of our armor. In other words, we must believe, speak, and live the truth as defined for us in the Bible. We must walk in the light, not in darkness and lies. The second part of this armor is also in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness comes from obedience to all of God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, which, if applied in the Spirit, would solve every world problem. The Ten Commandments applied to the fullest extent in your life would solve every last problem you face, believe it or not. So much of the time when we're dealing with problems, when we feel like nothing is going our way, there is a problem with law keeping. We're falling short somewhere almost every time. Mr. Hilliker writes about righteousness. We need God's righteousness, which comes by the Holy Spirit. That means learning God's will and using His power to submit to Him in every detail. Isaiah 64, verse 6 exposes false human righteousness. That is like filthy rags to God. We can't define righteousness. Righteousness means obeying God, keeping His law. That's the only kind of righteousness that is acceptable to God. The next part of this spiritual armor is in Ephesians 6, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mr. Hilliker calls this the shoes of God's work. He writes, doing God's work gives us sure footing in our spiritual battle. And then further down, we must be ready to march at any time, to go where God tells us and when. That helps us to do God's work quickly, efficiently. There is real spiritual protection in having our minds focused on God's work. Here in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Actually, I think I skipped verse 16. We'll go there first. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the shield of faith here. This is such an important aspect of our spiritual armor. Mr. Hilliker writes, our shield is faith, the faith of Christ, supplied by the Holy Spirit. Now, just as an aside here, there's a very big difference between the faith of Christ and faith in Christ. All of us can believe that Christ is our Savior. That's faith in Christ. But the faith of Christ is the actual faith that Christ possessed as a human man. Totally trusting in God and letting God work miracles in his life. We need the faith of Christ by God's Holy Spirit. Mr. Hilliker continues, this protects us from Satan's darts, foul moods, discouragement, doubts, attacks from the world, persecution from the unconverted. Faith enables you to parry all these attacks. What power God gives you. Romans 10 verse 17 shows us that our faith comes from Bible study. Now, it is a bit surprising how common it is for people to pray and do their hour of prayer, but still neglect Bible study. In a two-way conversation with God, that's the same as doing all the talking and none of the listening. Prayer is vitally important, and yet we have to give God a chance to answer those prayers and to respond to us through his word. We need to search the scriptures for God to be able to talk to us as well. Once we study the Bible, we know what God has promised us, and we simply have to believe those promises. Have faith in those promises. Mr. Hilliker writes, faith is crucial in your spiritual battle. Without it, you are subject to terrible attacks, doubts, and anxieties. You fixate on the physical evidence that overcoming is impossible, that defeat is inevitable, but with faith, you believe God's revelation. When he explains which tree leads to death, you trust him and reject Satan's lies. With faith, you pray believing prayer, asking God for power to overcome, and he will supply it. With faith, you actively seek God's will rather than your own. You live by the Spirit of Christ, who conquered all Satan's attacks. And finally here in verse 17, which I already read, you have the helmet of salvation and the sword of God's truth. The helmet of salvation is the knowledge of our purpose in life as human beings. Understanding the true goal and the destiny of all mankind. What is our potential? What is our future? Well, it's to become gods and to join God's family. Mr. Hilliker writes, neglect that helmet and you won't be protected from the cares of this world. You will be distracted by material things. The sword of the Spirit, or the sword of God's word here in our spiritual armor, is really the one offensive weapon. You could say that the shield of faith is both defensive and offensive at times. You can hit someone pretty hard with the shield for sure. But the sword of the Spirit, the sword of God's word, is the one only truly offensive weapon. We have to be thoroughly educated in the Bible. We have to be able to cut through Satan's lies with the sword of God's word. Mr. Hilliker writes, one of the most effective ways to gain the victory over the devil is to thoroughly know the Bible. Hebrews 4 verse 12 talks about the Bible being a two-edged sword. Yes, it can cut our enemies, but it can also cut us. It can correct us, cutting us to the core. And we need that as well. We need to let God correct us. And we also need to let God help us cut through our enemy, the devil. We absolutely need this armor, as it's described in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, yes, it is very difficult to be disciplined and to put on this armor every day through prayer and Bible study. But again, God provides the help. It can be done. And we need to believe that. Notice here, we'll just conclude with one hope-filled verse. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.